This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Michael out in the great state of New Jersey. How are we doing today, this morning here on April 21st? Good morning.
Got it. I can't believe it's April 21st, but we're doing great. I mean, what? We had a great NBA day yesterday, got to watch all the games and enjoyed all of them, and think it's kind of interesting how it's all going back and forth. Anthony Edwards was spectacular yesterday. Wow. That was amazing. And again, a team that's built for with three great players might not make it past the first round. So, you know, one of the things I learned a lot from Femi watching the NBA is team building and how to put together the team the right way and how all the pieces have to operate, which is what the NFL is all about as well. So there's a lot of enjoyment in watching those games.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Playoff basketball, it's so much different than regular season. Like, I love the regular season just because I love the NBA, but the playoffs is a whole nother level. And you see it with like, the atmospheres, the crowds. I mean, the crowd at the Garden yesterday afternoon here on the West Coast was just unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Like, see, like you get the defense chance on every single possession. Like, that's the stuff that we love with the NBA basketball. That's why we fell in love with this sport way back when, because we come and see it in the playoffs and you see the intensity ratchet up quite a bit here. We're going to talk a lot of playoff basketball. We obviously have some drafts of this is the final weekend before the draft. The draft just 4 days away. Our buddy Tim Murray in 30 minutes from now, host of VSiN Primetime, he'll let us know what he's confident in this draft process. I'm not confident in much, Michael, other than the fact that Caleb Williams is going to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. It's who knows? And we're 4 days away. Still a lot to unpack with this NFL draft coming up here Thursday, the first round in the Motor City in Detroit. And then in hour number two, Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of VSiN Primetime, will join us. We'll break down the NBA JVT, our senior NBA analyst here at VSiN, and we'll get his thoughts on his Clippers. Are they being overlooked? Everyone I talk to, Michael, just loves Dallas. Pencil Dallas into the second round. Kawhi is hurt. Dallas is going.
Yeah.
Could the Clippers provide some resistance? We'll ask JVT that in hour number two. The Clippers now underdogs, despite having home court advantage in that series to the Dallas Mavericks. But I do want to start with what we saw yesterday at MSG, at the Mecca. The New York Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers 111-104. The Knicks go ahead and cover as a 4.5-point favorite. The game goes over the total of 208.5. I know you're a Sixers fan. There was a scare there late in the first half with Embiid on a really like remarkable play. Throw it off the glass, dunks it. It looked like he was done for the rest of the season, if not the rest of the playoffs. He comes back in the game, but too little too late there for the Philadelphia Sixers as the Knicks take game one.
Well, I mean, look, Embiid had what he played, 40 minutes. He had 8 rebounds the entire day. The Knicks had 23 offensive rebounds in the game. The 76ers had 24 defensive rebounds. I mean, how are you beating anybody with that? The Knicks shot 45% from the field in the three-point line. I mean, it was truly a remarkable effort by the Knicks in terms of how they controlled the board. Mitchell Robinson had 13 rebounds. 8 of them came on the offensive end. And so, you know, Embiid did come back. Now there's some doubt whether he'll play Monday night. You know, they're all going to say he is. He didn't come to the post-game media session, so who knows? And when it comes down to his injuries, you know, everybody says, well, they should rest him for next season. Rest him for next season? Like at some point, when is somebody going to say this guy's always hurt? Like, when is somebody going to say the obvious, right? Like, they got dominated on the offensive board. They have the greatest center in the history of basketball. If you listen to all these pundits talk about it, you know, oh, he's the greatest center of all. And he had 3 defensive rebounds the entire day. So, I mean, it's just comical. You know, what makes it even more comical, Femi, and we're going to talk about it on the GM Shuffle, which I can't wait. And we're going to talk about it on draft day with Tim Murray, who's going to be joining us on the Thursday show. Mm-hmm. And we're going to cover the first round. But what's remarkable is how this illusion that the 76ers have been a class organization by Josh Harris. I mean, they're gonna lose to the Knicks. Trust me, they're not tough enough to beat the Knicks. The Knicks dominate the offensive glass. They have all year. That's their strength. They'll lose to the Knicks in this series. And where are they? They haven't gone past the second round ever. So it's just, to me, it's just another one of those. The narrative, well, he's hurt, you know, and he can't play. You know, fourth quarter, I posted it. Did you see his fourth quarter shooting? 0-for-5 in the fourth. He's exhausted. The guy can't run up and down the court. When is somebody going to say it? Besides me and Mitch Moss, I saw Mitch Moss's tweet yesterday. Thank God. Like, at some point, great talent. Love him. Respect the hell out of him. Great talent. Doesn't work hard. Not in shape. When you're not in shape, you always get hurt. It just goes in every sport. I'm sick of it. It just drives. I watched Rudy Gobert yesterday, Femi, and it was driving me nuts. Rudy Gobert was working his ass off, up and down the court, making plays, rebounding, dominating the glass. Like, and then you watch Embiid, and oh, he's so great. He's so great. Because he can turn and hit a jumper. He took 8 3-pointers, Femi, of 21 shots. He's 7 feet two, 250 pounds, and he's shooting 3-pointers like he's you know, like he's some point guard. Give me a break. Stop. Stop.
Embiid yesterday, 8 of 22 from the field. Obviously, that's not what you want there. 11 of 12 from the free throw line, 29 points, only 8 rebounds, like you mentioned. But I think a lot of fans will look at the box scores and they'll say, well, the Sixers with Embiid in those 36 minutes, they were plus 14. Without him, they were minus 21 in the 12 minutes. I mean, I hear you on Embiid, but they also need Tobias Harris. They need Buddy Hield. They need those guys to step up if they want any chance of competing in this series, because it's not going to be on the back of Joel Embiid. Maybe he stands out there as a decoy or whatever, but clearly, like, he's gassed or he's hurt or he's a combination of the both. It can't all just be on Tyrese Maxey. Those other guys have to sort of step up, and they were kind of on milk cartons yesterday afternoon.
The guy's 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter, you know, when they needed him most, when they got back. I mean, Kyle Lowry got him back in the game. And so they, you know, when they were there, to me, look, Tobias Harris has been one of the worst contracts in the history of contracts, right? I mean, when they decided, I mean, this is where I go crazy on the Josh Harris, such a great organization. You know, how many mistakes? I could fill this whiteboard up with their mistakes. Like, they picked Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. Like, that's a colossal mistake. Yeah, they picked Zaire Smith over Miles Bridges. That's a colossal mistake. They picked Markelle Fultz over whoever else and gave up a first. Those are colossal mistakes. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so, you know, for me, it's like it just continues to go on. But give the Knicks credit. Look, they're tough-minded. Josh Hart was sensational and makes all those, you know, make key three-pointers at the game. You know, McBride's, you know, where'd he come from? All of a sudden, he's dominating. Look, Thibodeau knows. Trust me, I know Thibodeau really well, and Thibodeau knows he's got the tougher team. He knows it.
Yeah, and you saw that the way that, like, every time the Sixers made it close in that fourth quarter, then Josh Hart's making the three-pointer. And this is the same Josh Hart who, like he's not known for three-point shooting, but he goes 4 for 8 from beyond the arc. A couple of just dagger threes, OG Anunoby. He hit an open three to kind of seal the game as well. As you mentioned, Deuce McBride, 21 points off the bench there. But I think Mitchell Robinson was probably the unsung hero of that game for the New York Knicks. The 12 rebounds that he had, the 4 blocks, and just making Embiid have to work and tiring him out, and then knowing that in the fourth quarter he won't have anything left in the tank there. A great job by the New York Knicks to go ahead and win and cover. And Jalen Brunson didn't even play that well. It's probably as poorly as Brunson will play all series.
You know, it's funny. I got a direct message on Twitter from a guy that listens to our podcast and is a huge Jet fan. And, you know, he's a classic Jet fan, right? He's always believes that it's going to come down to and win. And he went to the Garden last night, and at 6:34, he sends me a message and says, I'm at MSG. Embiid is tired already. There's 7 minutes left in the first quarter, and he's already laboring. They're his words, not mine, right? Doris Burke said he was exhausted in pregame warmup. Like, when are the Kendrick – what are these people that are so-called experts in the NBA going to say? The guy's not in shape. Why do they keep saying, oh, he's injured? Why do you think he's injured, Femi? Why do you think he's injured?
Yeah, no, it's a fair
point.
You
know, the best part about this is the NBA is so stupid. They're going to put the 76ers Nick game on against the first round of the NFL draft. Like, that's the most ridiculous thing of all time, right? But at least you and I will be able to sit in the studio and watch it, and we can watch him labor together.
We can watch it together. It's like a couple years ago. I think the Sixers had a playoff game during the draft. We can watch it together here at the Circus Sportsbook. We're excited to have you out here in Las Vegas later on this week. You mentioned Joel Embiid. On the other side of things, in the Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Lakers game, Nikola Jokic, the guy who's going to win MVP this year, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists on 15 of 23 shooting. The Denver Nuggets, that's starting five, all five players in double figures. they just have too much for the Lakers. Like, I think the Lakers are actually a good team, but Denver is just at another level. And I don't want to say that it's inevitable that they come out of the Western Conference, but you watch them play. If they're able to stay healthy, I don't see who's beating them out West.
Well, all starting five players were plus in the plus minus area, right? Yep. That was remarkable. Only Jamal Murray was plus nine. That was the lowest one they had. And the fact, look, I think this is a classic example. I talk about it all the time about NFL teams. The Lakers are probably a really good 38-minute team.
Yep.
Played the first quarter. They're playing well, but they just don't have enough juice, right? They can't get enough. They don't have enough. And when you start adding up that LeBron James is playing 41 minutes, Anthony Davis played 45, I mean, you know, if this goes long, the more minutes they stack on one another, the less effective they're going to become. And they have no bench. I mean, they have no bench. So, yeah, I mean, that's why seven-game series are so good to determine who the best team is. Because could the Lakers beat the Nuggets in one game? Yes. Can they beat them over a seven-game series? I think it's fairly obvious they can't.
Yeah, we saw it last year. Even though those games were competitive, like three of the four of those games last year in the Western Conference Finals were single digits with 2 minutes to go. But eventually Denver just wears them out, and they were able to wear them out in that third quarter, 32-18. That was the difference in this game. The Nuggets go ahead and get a 114-103 victory. They cover as 6.5-point favorites. Game goes under the total. And like you mentioned it, LeBron and Anthony Davis played pretty much as well as they could play at their given ages now. And just didn't matter because the Nuggets are just a little bit too much. We'll talk more about that series as we roll along. But on the other side, who's lying? NFL draft season is in full flex. We'll discuss it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We have an Eastern Conference Finals rematch in the NBA first round. And if you haven't checked it out already over at VSiN.com, our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, has written up about it with predictions on how he sees this Celtics-Heat series playing out. Game one tips off in a little less than 3 hours now over at the TD Garden in Boston. It'll be a Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat in that series. Make sure you check it out, VSiN.com, the new revamped VSiN website. Check it out right now. Got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber as well. Subscribe at VSiN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line rolling along here on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. Tim Murray of VSiN Primetime will join us 15 minutes from now to discuss the NFL draft. Once again, 4 days away from the first round, Thursday night in the Motor City. And with 4 days out to this thing, Michael, I'm not sure what the hell is going to happen at this NFL draft. Caleb Williams is going one after that. Cool. We'll sit back and eat the popcorn, and I'll be surprised the rest of the way here. Before we get into what some of the comments of these general managers and what they've been saying, I do think it's interesting. We had a little bit of this discussion on our GM Shuffle podcast that released on Thursday. We encourage everybody to go ahead and find that wherever they get their podcasts. Where is a lot of the information that we're getting this weekend and early next week? Where is that coming from? Because I think that is important to kind of try to decipher between whether it's the teams or this is the agents or whoever this is. Like, where is a lot of the info that's coming from that we're going to get over these next couple of days?
Oh, I think, you know, up until this point, it's all been from the agents, Femi. And I agree with you completely. You're right. I mean, there's nobody know. It's like the Sopranos episode. Nobody knows nothing, right? Everybody's kind of guessing at this point. In fact, you know, if you noticed when last week Adam Schefter went on a Washington podcast, you know, one of those, well, you know, I don't know what it was called, but he went on there and he said, "Hey, get your Jaden Daniels jerseys ready." And the number moved, I think, up to -350 for him to be the second pick overall. But over the course of some events, when all four players were back in D.C. to spend time, word leaked out that maybe, and this could be coming from the agents, that Jaden Daniels didn't have a good visit. Okay. And all of a sudden, I don't know what his number is now to go number two overall, but it started to go back down again.
Yep. And -150.
There is a lot of people with. Now it's down to -150, okay? Well, I thought it was -190. Now it's down to -150. And there's a lot of people in the league. I got a phone call the other day that a lot of people in the league think this is all coming because the kid wants to play for the Raiders. That he's trying to sabotage. Now, this is all hearsay, right? He's trying to sabotage his visits. He's trying to pretend he wants to go and be reunited with Antonio Pierce and Marvin Lewis, both who were at Arizona State with him. I mean, I don't know what to read into that. I really don't. I do know there's some things that players want to do. Are the Raiders willing to trade up to 3? I don't know. But I think what it's trying to do is get the Washington football team to kind of move off of them. Will it work? Who knows? Is it true? I don't know. I think Ian Rappaport, give him credit. He even admitted the other day, I don't even know what's going to happen in this draft. So there's no certainty.
Yeah, which is why it was so strange that a week ago or so he was out to -350. Because it's like, hey, like, are we sure? Like, I know everyone's mocking him to the Commanders at number 2. If you read any mock draft, more often than not, it's going to have Daniels going 2, which is what has sort of driven this market over the past 6 weeks or so. But until something is concrete, like, that, the price is just never justified, which is why we've gone back to -150. But even though that we've gone back to -150, I say all that to say that he could still go to the Commanders. Like this doesn't mean that he's not going to be drafted there. And who knows what's real out there with all the stuff that he could be trying to tank. I feel like that works more in the NBA, where you can kind of tank and be like, hey, like, I don't want to go to this team. Let me not give them my medicals. Let me not do that. That doesn't seem like an NFL team. I guess it's happened, like Eli Manning, but like that was a whole different situation. That's not what this is. But I mean, I just think that this could maybe be a CJ Stroud situation all over again, to where, I mean, this time last year, we were all trying to figure out where Stroud going to go. And it eventually was to number 2 overall to the Houston Texans. Like, the owner just stepped in and said, this is my guy. Let's go ahead and take him. Is that what's sort of going to happen here with the Commanders? I mean, Adam Peters, we believe, is in full control of this organization. That's what Josh Harris, he wanted to kind of empower him with that. It was why they hired Dan Quinn.
Really well. That works well with That works great for the 76ers. Wait till I tally that up anyway. You have to remind me of that. Thanks, Remy. I appreciate you. Yeah, it's really worked well.
The winning culture that he's built
really
in Philadelphia.
It's really having that GM in control. Brian Colangelo, Sam Hinkie, you know, we got, you know, the owner. I mean, it's really worked well. I couldn't look at a better organization, how they're put together. It's just, I marvel at it. I really do. I'm so fortunate to be a 76er fan. I love it so much. But let's put things in context here, okay? So let's just play a game for a second, you and me. Mm-hmm. Let's say that the Washington football team, the Commanders or whatever the hell they want to call themselves, decides to take Drake May at 2, all right? So now that leaves the 3rd pick available. And say that Elliot Wolf, who says he's open for business, is open for business. So to go from 13 to 3, right, that's going to require probably 1,000 points. 1,000 points is the midpoint of the first round. Okay, that would be the midpoint of the first round.
Yep.
So how do you now, if Minnesota wants to go up there, they have more arsenal. So it's ideal for New England to be in that position. So what would the Raiders have to pay to get there? And I think that's really what, and you're going to have to overpay. It's not going to be just 1,000 points, right? It's not going to just be the standard trade value chart. It's going to be above and beyond. You're paying a tax. This is like when you borrow from a loan shark. You know, you're not getting the 7% rate you get at the bank. You're getting a 28% rate, right?
Yeah.
So, and you got to pay on time and you got to pay the VIG. And that's where it's going to come down to. And I think that's what's the interesting thing right now. Will Mark Davis sign off on it? Will Tom Telesco, who has the control of the pick, want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Would he want to do that? When they signed Gardner Minshew, that was like a little bit out of left field, not for maybe the people making the decisions, but I think for a lot of other people around the league. So, you know, you got Minshew. They have a really bad, you know, they need offensive linemen, which is, I think, if they stay at 13, that's where they'll go. But for me, you know, that's what makes this so intriguing, is can they get up there or can Minnesota get up there? I think all those things are in play, and that's why we really don't know.
Can the Patriots afford to walk away with this without one of the top quarterback prospects? Because even if they were to trade down to 11 or to 13, they could still theoretically get a guy, whether it's Bo Nix or Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy, whoever happens to be there. Like, what do you think the sentiment would be around Patriots fans? We have a lot of them who are listening right now and watching on Nesson. If they move out of that spot and Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, staring them right in the face and they say, you know what, we're going to bail and go ahead and pick maybe Bo Nix at 11 or 13.
You know, well, first of all, I think if they pick Bo Nix at 11 or 13, they're probably overreaching, I would suspect. You know, obviously Denver has been linked to Bo Nix, but not at 12. I could see Denver trading down to pick Bo Nix. I mean, Denver has one quarterback on their roster, Jarrett Stidham. So Denver's not coming out of this draft without a quarterback. I can just promise you that. If they do, then who are they signing to be the backup, right? You got to ask yourself that question. What's the alternative for Denver? What's the alternative for New England? They have Jacoby Brissett, but that's all they have. So those two teams, New England and Denver, are parallel in the sense that if they don't come out of this draft with some prospect, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't come out of this with a prospect at quarterback, where do they go? Do they go back to the market again and sign another veteran quarterback to back up Brissett? That doesn't sound right. You know, obviously they would like more picks in New England, but New England to me has to get that young quarterback as you're starting this new regime. I just don't think you could trade down and risk J.J. McCarthy being there, because I think J.J. McCarthy is well-liked by a lot of teams. And I think somebody will trade up to 6-5 with the Chargers to get him, to get ahead of the Giants. If the Giants are going to pull the pin on a quarterback.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the New York Giants, because their general manager, Joe Sane, said that they have no pressure to take a quarterback in this year's NFL draft, saying, quote, with Drew Locke's experience, he started games and played, and Daniel's experience and what Tommy did last year and another year in the system, Tommy has come a long way. I think we can go into the season with the three that we have, and I'd feel comfortable with that. Cutlets has come a long way, Michael. What are you laughing about?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I didn't know he said he put Cutlets in there.
He put him in there.
Having experience and being able to win doesn't help you at all. Like, seriously, you know, you can have all the experience you want. I mean, Andy Dalton's got experience. How's that working out for the teams that put him in the game, right? You know, I mean, Mike Glennon had a ton of experience. How's that working out when they put him in the game? I mean, that's such a bad answer. I mean, you're going to stand in front of the New York media and try to convince people Cutlets is going to be able to make the sandwich? Come on.
they got that Monday night game against the Packers on loop in Joe Shane's office. That's all they're watching. And everyone's chanting, Tommy, Tommy. That was the height of his powers, Tommy Cutlets. Also knocked a lot of people out of Survivor. But we don't need to rehash all that stuff there. But, hey, General Manager Joe Shane says he's confident in their quarterback room. Well, that's Tim Murray on the other side about this stuff. Host of VSiN Primetime. He is waist deep into the draft betting. We'll get his thoughts on it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, and joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, it's our buddy Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern Time. And Tim will be with us Thursday night, 8 to 11, 5 to 8 Eastern, or sorry, 5 to 8 West Coast time on Thursday, as we have our NFL draft special. Michael, Tim, myself will be breaking it down, analyzing all the first round picks from what we expect for them in the NFL and also the betting ramifications with it as well. Tim, good morning. Thanks for waking up with us. We were talking about it in the last segment. What are you confident in with this NFL draft outside of Caleb Williams going number one to the Chicago Bears?
Right now, not a ton. It's kind of fascinating. I do think, you know, we're going to see a bunch of offensive linemen go. That's the market that's moved a lot here, guys. So over 9.5, the juices continue to shift there. So I do think, you know, over 9.5 offensive linemen is an intriguing look from a betting perspective. And then really, you know, to kind of get into the weeds, as you said, what are you confident about? I'm definitely not confident that Dallas Turner will be the top defensive player selected. That market has been kind of all over the place. And then, you know, Lance Zierlein of NFL Network kind of speculatory, but said he had a feel that It's the top defensive player discussion is a little bit more complicated than just Dallas Turner is going to be the first guy off the board, and we've seen a lot of shift there. But the play I did give out on Follow the Money when I was filling in for Mitch and Paul this Friday was Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, over 27.5. It feels like some of these wide receivers after the big three are dropping a little bit. So I think there could be a little bit of a fall for some of these wide receivers. And I think there is a lot of conflicting, discussions around the league with the number four wide receiver. So I think Adonai Mitchell could be a guy who could potentially fall out of the first round, but 27.5 is at DraftKings. I think an over there, maybe he lands the 28 in Buffalo, but yeah, it's going to be fascinating, guys. I can't wait for Thursday because there's so many different ideas going in my head, and we haven't really even discussed the quarterbacks yet.
All right, so let's go there. We saw when Schefter gave the report on Daniels going, get your Daniels jersey ready, Washington, and then the number ballooned. And then over the last 4 or 5 days when Daniels, May, and all the other quarterbacks came in, Penix and Nix came into Washington for a visit and they played Topgolf, that number shifted down to minus 150. What did you make of that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting discussion. And I, it's funny, Michael, because we did a big thing on VSiN Primetime, just taking all of the different kind of clips, whether it was Daniel Jeremiah and his, media availability, John Keim, longtime Washington beat reporter on his podcast, discussing that nobody really knows. And I think this is, to me, Michael, kind of accurate of where the market should be. I think it's a slight lean towards Jaden Daniels. People around the league believe it will be Jaden Daniels, but we have no concrete information that it ultimately will be the LSU quarterback. So I think he should be the favorite. I think, but it to me, because there was no concrete information, right, as you alluded to, that Adam Schefter kind of speculation or report, however you wanted to say it on the podcast last Friday, ballooned this out to minus 350 at some shops. And I just thought that was way too much. And I think what we saw in the market was just people taking back at Drake May with the feel that this should be closer to a coin toss. And that's kind of what we saw. We got to a pick on Thursday night, and now we've seen the market kind of bet back to Jaden Daniels. So look, I think everybody's guessing at this point, and that's what you've heard continuously out of Washington, is that nobody really knows. And I think Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, I believe he mocked Drake May there just because of the early connection. But yeah, I think the market movement towards Drake May is not because somebody knows what Washington's going to do. I think it's because no one knows what Washington's going to do. So you saw people taking juicy prices on Drake May, who, when this all started back in February, guys, he was the perceived favorite to be the number two quarterback, number two overall pick. And I think that's what we saw the market do here, is that they just kind of took and ran with the fact that the continuous discussion out of Washington was nobody knows what they're going to do.
Yeah, I'm not saying that this has to happen, but it's interesting you mentioned that with Daniel Jeremiah, because I remember last year he was the one person that had this whole trade scenario with the Texans, with them trading back up to get Will Anderson. Obviously, yeah, he was plugged in on what they were potentially going to do there. Not saying that it has to be right that it's Drake May, but just interesting to note nonetheless there with the top of the draft with Daniel Jeremiah mocking Drake May to the Commanders at number two. We're hanging out with Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime. Check it out weekdays, 6 to 9 Eastern time. Tim will also be with us here on the DraftKings Network and on VSiN on NFL Draft Night Thursday, 8 to 11 Eastern time, 5 to 8 Pacific, as we break down all 32 of the first round selections. Let's get back to first defensive player selected, though, Tim, because you mentioned how it might not be Dallas Turner, the edge out of Alabama, going in the top 10, because I feel like that's where everyone has placed him, going 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. If it's not Dallas Turner, who right now is minus 125 to be the first defensive player selected over at DraftKings, who do you think could potentially be a defender who gets into that top 10 and goes before Dallas Turner?
Yeah, you've seen a lot, Femi, of love for Laiatu, the edge out of UCLA. And the biggest thing about him was the medicals. If he's cleared the medicals, is he going to maybe go higher than we expected? I mean, we saw a shop in Las Vegas sitting at 21.5 on his over under for a little bit, and that has certainly come down considerably. So I think Latu's an interesting one. And then honestly, guys, I think it's kind of, you just take some flyers. You know, Byron Murphy was someone who, you know, got a lot of love on that, you know, media call that Daniel Jeremiah had earlier this week. So I took a flyer on Byron Murphy. He was 10 to 1 earlier this week, you know, just kind of a shot in the dark kind of play against Dallas Turner. You could also go the other way of playing Dallas Turner's over. I saw a bunch of people that I respect who really are piped into the, you know, the betting market, and they took some over on his draft position sitting at 9.5. And we've seen the juice considerably move on Dallas Turner. So if you're looking to kind of fade Dallas Turner as a top defensive player, you could maybe look at his over draft position sitting there at 9.5, because we've kind of gotten to the point, guys, where, you know, there's so many of these consensus groupthink type of selections, whether it's Joe Ault at 7 to Tennessee, or it's, you know, Dallas Turner 8 to Atlanta, or the most recent ones, kind of Brock Bowers going to the Jets at 10. You know, do we believe all these are going to happen? And the one that I'm most skeptical of is Dallas Turner going there to number 8. Now, I know a lot of people have pointed out that Dallas Turner, over his time at Alabama, has dropped into coverage, and that's what Raheem Morris likes to see from edge rushers. So I think that's ultimately why we've seen this. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta went a different route here at 8. And, you know, I've seen a couple people even make the notion that maybe they look at a pass catcher if someone's available there at number 8.
If they take a pass catcher at 8, they should just run the – I mean, they should get Sherman to come back and take Atlanta all over again. I mean, like, it's unbelievable. You can't do that. There's just no way, right? I mean, like, to me, the alternative would,
be
Byron
surprised.
Murphy.
I would be surprised.
Like, you know, I mean, they or, you know, Byron Murphy gives them a 3 technique, which they should have picked last year. You know, would have – now you had Jalen Carter. But to me, I think that's the case. I think the interesting prop is how many defensive players will go in the first round, right? Right now, in talking to teams, I say there's somewhere between 10 and 12 players that have first-round grades on them. And two of them have medical. That would be Latu and Brendan Fisk from Florida State. They have medical. So, and, you know, obviously there's always a surprise. But I think, to me, the offensive – over 21.5 prop bet and the defense under 12 might be the two really strong bets.
Yeah, we've seen the market move on that, right, Michael? It opened 20.5 and that got scooped up and went to 21.5. So, and I think the latest discussion too is I think Washington, with the 2 second round picks, I think they trade back into the first round and get an offensive lineman. You know, I think we see a run of these offensive linemen. It's a very strong offensive line class. Led by Joe Ault, but there's a lot of other pieces. Graham Barton's a guy with a lot of versatility, can play center, can play guard. So I think you're onto something. I have not personally made that bet, but I do think we start to see a lot of offensive linemen going pretty late in this class, and you could see a team like Washington, who's going to take a quarterback at 2 and maybe go get that left tackle that they need late in the first round with 2 second round picks.
It all starts at pick 2. We're going to learn what it is 4 days from now, NFL draft night. Tim will be with us, draft special, 8 to 11 Eastern, 5 to 8 West Coast time. We're going to have a whole lot of fun Thursday night. And also check out Tim on VSiN Primetime, weekdays 6 to 9. Tim, thanks, man. Good luck with all the draft bets.
Can't wait, fellas. Talk to you Thursday.
Awesome stuff there. We'll be back on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. great time to take advantage of that. Got four more NBA playoff games today. We got NHL playoff games as well. A great time to be diving into all the bets here. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Ebebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Thank you to Tim Murray, who joined us in the last segment. By the way, Tim, of course, as we mentioned 15 minutes ago, will be with us on draft night, 8 to 11, 5 to 8 West Coast time. He'll be here all throughout the first round. We'll be breaking it down. Michael, Tim, myself, it's going to be a whole lot of fun draft night. And if the Atlanta Falcons pick another pass catcher at 8, I want to see the reaction from Michael Lombardi, because that would just be unreal if they ended up taking a pass catcher. But who knows what the Falcons are going to do. We know that that brass is known for building winning organizations. So we'll see what happens there with the Falcons.
Yes.
We got to take them at their word.
21 wins in 3 years. Yeah. Rich McKay's gone to the playoffs 7 times, and he's one game over 500 in his career. But of course, you know, in Rich we trust. That's what Falcon fans all say. So we love it.
It's the model organization in the NFL. We talked a lot of Commanders in the last segment. We've talked a lot of Commanders throughout this draft process because they sort of hold the keys to this draft and the rest of the way here, picking at number 2. And Jaden Daniels right now, minus 150 to be the second overall pick. Drake May, plus 125. J.J. McCarthy, 18-1. As we sit here on Sunday, Michael, 4 days away from the first round of the NFL draft, how many people do you think know what the Commanders are going to do with the second overall pick?
I would say probably Quinn, Josh Harris, they got such a huge front office. I mean, my Lord, you can't – I mean, they probably can't have a meeting without having
Congress.
An extended office. Yeah, exactly. They got a committee there. You got Bob Myers, who's doing TV. He'll probably know. Martin Mayhew, the president, I'm sure he knows. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say 10 people probably do know within the building, all high-level executives that would. And obviously Adam Peters is the one driving the train. But what's interesting about Washington when you break them down is they have so many new faces on this team, right? Mm-hmm. So they've added 6 new offensive starters if they all start, and they've added 6 new defensive starters if they all start. To go along with a bunch of other, they've been the most active team in free agency, no question. Not that they've spent a lot of money, they've added to try to add to the depth of their team. So I think ultimately, when you look at them, they need to get the quarterback and they need to get this offensive line repaired. Now, they signed Allegretti from the Chiefs. They've signed Valdez from the Cowboys, right? And so they still need a guard, whether they put Kozeme in there. They've got Wiley, who they signed last year, but Cornelius Lucas is still their starting left tackle, and that's not good enough, right? So I think, to me, that's where they're going to have to go to repair their team, especially when they go with a young quarterback. Because with Mariota as your backup, the chances of you staying healthy are probably not very good. So if the starter gets hurt, Mariota's probably going to get hurt too. He has a hard time staying in games.
Yep, the Commanders, and Tim alluded to it in the last segment there, but they have 2 second-round picks, 36 and 40, and then they have 3 third-round picks. So do you anticipate this being a team that moves back into the first round to go ahead and get an offensive lineman? Tim kind of alluded to that, but that could be a way that they address this. Maybe take the quarterback at 2 and then use 36 and 40, or maybe 36 and 67. You kind of package some of those Friday picks to get back in on Thursday.
Well, I think what you have to do is look at the board, right? I don't think he can make that call, because if you have an opportunity, you know, if you're sitting at 36 and you have 4 offensive linemen that you like and there's a team picking at 28, you know, will you get your guy at 36? I think that's the question. Mm-hmm. And or would you be better off? How many players do you have graded? When you're Washington, you can't be in a rush to fill needs because you have so many needs. You have so many needs. You could pick any player off any board and it could probably help your team. So I think, to me, you know, those picks are so important. The fact that they have 6 picks in the top 100 players is more important than getting 2 players in the first round. I think you got to hit with those 6 top 100 picks. You got to have a really good – you get 6 players that have the potential to start and play 4 years within the system. I think that's more important. That's what teams want. You know, teams want to be able to trade down to get 4, 6, 5, 8 picks within the top 100. And Washington already has that.
And then there's the New York Giants. And as we continue through this NFC East deep dive here, heading into the NFL draft 4 days away, the Giants have the number 6 overall pick. they are comfortable, in their own words, general manager Joe Saint said they are comfortable not needing to force a quarterback in this draft. Do you see the Giants going quarterback or wide receivers where the betting market sees them going? They're minus 225 for their first player to be a wide receiver, whether it's Neighbors or Adunze, maybe it's even Harrison. Old lineman, they could always go in that direction as well. But what do you see the Giants doing with number six? Do they sit pat and they take a guy, or do they try to move up to get a QB, or maybe even move down with some of those QB needy teams sitting just outside the top 10?
Well, I mean, they've spent a lot of time and money on quarterbacks. I mean, they have spent time and money. They have done a complete investigation, and that's not something a team does that feels like they're not going to draft a quarterback. You know, the San Francisco 49ers are watching all the quarterbacks, but they're not spending the amount of time on because they feel like they have their answer. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little disingenuous of Joe Shane to say that they're content, right? I think if the right guy comes to them, they will pick them. I mean, well, John Mara already said as such, if they fall in love, then I would okay them picking a quarterback. They have so many needs in the offensive line. Now, they try to address them in free agency. They signed Runyon to be the starting right guard. They signed Illuminor from the Raiders to be the right tackle. Is that good enough? Aaron Stinney, they signed to be the left guard. Like, they've tried a lot to repair this offensive line because it hasn't been good. Singletary takes the place of Saquon. I don't know how that would work out. But I think, to me, if they went in any direction, you know, they get Wendell Robinson back at receiver. Jalin Hyatt looked like he's going to be a really good player. Now, Darius Slayton wants to get paid. But I think, to me, they could certainly use a big-time receiver, but they could also use a defensive tackle to go next to Dexter Lawrence, right? They just signed Jordan Phillips in there, and he was hurt most of last year. I think they can go in any direction. I think that's the thing with New York. They can go in any direction. I would lean towards them taking the receiver because I think if Daboll wants to make the quarterback be more productive, he's going to want to try to get more skill around him.
Yeah, I mean, they do need more skill around them, and they could get their pick of the litter of those wide receivers that are there. I would anticipate maybe Harrison's off the board at that point, but you never know. The team could surprise us and take Neighbors before Harrison, and all of a sudden it could be Harrison sitting there for the New York Giants. Their win total sitting at 6.5, same with the Washington Commanders. The other two teams in the division, the Eagles and the Cowboys, their win totals are at 10.5. Philadelphia holds the 22nd overall pick. The Cowboys hold the 24th overall pick. What do those teams need to do in the draft? They're sitting in the back half of the first round where there likely isn't going to be a quote-unquote first-round player available. How do they sort of navigate that?
Well, I think Philly, when you look at what Philly's done this offseason, is they filled every need on their team. They could actually go play a game and be functional and be good enough, right? So, and they put money into it, whether it's Barkley, whether it's re-signing all their players. You know, they have 22, 50, and 53. They have 2 second-round picks, albeit a little bit lower. I would suspect Philly to be a team to try to trade up to get a corner, right? I think they'll trade up to try to get Mitchell if they could, because when you break down the corner market, right, two of the corners are from Alabama, okay? You know, you've got Kool-Aid and you've got Arnold, right? And yep. So to me, when you watch Alabama on tape, Alabama played more zone than I've ever seen Nick Saban play in his career. And Nick Saban doesn't want to play zone. He wants to play man. But what he's telling you by playing so much zone is that they're not a great man-to-man team. And I know these corners are ranked high by Alabama standards, but I think if you gave Nick truth serum, he would probably say, you know, we've had better corners than here. Now, will they go in the first round? Probably they will. But I think the one corner that you could say would really enhance the Philadelphia Eagle team is Mitchell from Toledo. And I wouldn't be surprised if Howie, knowing that all these draft picks aren't going to make his team, right? He's got 3 picks in the top 55. I think if he could cash one of those picks in to get a legitimate starting corner, a cover corner, and a man-to-man for Vic Fangio, I think he'll do that.
So you like Mitchell more than Terrion Arnold, who was at Alabama. You mentioned Kool-Aid McKinstry. He was at Bama. But Terrion Arnold is another guy who's being talked about as a first round. But you love Mitchell from Toledo, Kenyon Mitchell.
Yeah, and I think the second best corner is Wiggins from Clemson. And there's some stuff that you got to work your way through with Wiggins from Clemson.
All right. Well, that is a draft. There's no perfect prospect. The Dallas Cowboys, I mean, you talked about the Eagles. They filled their needs. The Cowboys, they better hit this draft out the park.
They just made you upset. They just have made you upset. That's all that they've done.
they really have. Hopefully, they draft well typically. In Will McClay, we trust. But, boy, they're up against it this draft. They really need a grand slam. All right. we'll get to what's on Michael's mind to start hour number two here on the Lombardi Line.